We are joined now by Erwin Chemerinsky on the phone. Erwin is the Dean and Distinguished Professor of Law at University of California, Berkeley School of Law. He is one of the nation's top experts in constitutional law, federal practice, civil rights, civil liberties, and appellate litigation. He's the author and co-author of several books, including The Conservative Assault on the Constitution and The Case Against the Supreme Court. Good morning, Erwin.
Good morning. Good to talk with you.
Thank you so much for joining us. So your first reactions to what we've seen over the last 2.5 hours?
The intense partisanship. You know, there's the whole episode of the screaming between Jerry Nadler and Doug Collins and Matt Gaetz, Mike Johnson from Louisiana, all the procedural efforts by the Republicans to just gum up the works. The reality is there's no dispute as to what happened. The facts are absolutely clear. There's only one question. Is it an impeachable offense for the president to use the powers of the office to try to condition military aid on another country, getting dirt on a political rival? That's the only question. Excuse me.
Quite all right.
Erwin Chemerinsky, can you talk to us about the importance of impeachment just as it pertains to the Constitution?
Sure. The Constitution provides very little in the way of remedies if a president violates the Constitution or abuses the power of the office. Obviously, a president who's up for re-election could be denied re-election, but that doesn't necessarily enforce the Constitution. The Constitution shouldn't depend on the will of the voters. Also, if it's a lame duck president, there's no check. There's no such thing as a no-confidence vote under the Constitution. A sitting president, we think, can't be indicted in court, at least that's the position of the Justice Department. So our only remedy is to impeach and remove the president if the president commits treason, bribery, or high crimes and misdemeanors. What I was trying to say a moment ago when I got a frog in my throat is the only issue in these impeachment hearings is, does President Trump's conduct rise to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors, since there's no dispute about what he did?
And do you have a judgment on that? Do you have an opinion on that?
I do. I think it's clear from the Constitutional Convention, from the Federalist Papers, from history, that a serious abuse of power is exactly what a high crime and misdemeanor was meant to convey. And what President Trump did was a serious abuse of power. He used the authority of his office to condition military aid to a foreign country on their gathering dirt on a political rival. There's no doubt this was a quid pro quo. White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney said it was a quid pro quo. Get over it. The witnesses, such as Fiona Hill and William Taylor and Gordon Sondland, made clear it was a quid pro quo. And I think under those circumstances, it's completely understandable why the Democrats have chosen to impeach. And I think history will look back on this and ask the question, why were the Republicans unwilling to recognize this abuse of power?
We've heard this term, the Constitution demands it. Can you talk about that, how people argue that it's not even a choice at this point to move forward with impeachment?
I think that's rhetorical, not legal. I think rhetorically it's nice to say that this is a constitutional imperative. I think legally the Constitution gives to the House of Representatives the power to impeach for treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. But there's no requirement in the Constitution. The requirement comes from the sense of the seriousness of the offense, the reasons for doing it, but it's not a legal requirement.
Erwin, the two main issues are, A, that Trump not only withheld military aid, which, by the way, Congress is the only body that's supposed to make those calls, but secondarily, that he withheld this meeting in the Oval Office. And I think if you're just listening, just folks that may not be as steeped in this as you are, what is the significance of that meeting? Why does that withholding a meeting elevate to the level of a high crime?
Again, this is about, I think, two things. One is that the president was very much conditioning military aid on the Ukraine gathering dirt on Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. And the other is the obstruction of justice that went on, the way in which the Trump administration and Trump personally was trying to hide evidence of this. And I think that these are the things that are going to be the focus of the articles of impeachment.
don't mean to play tug of war here, but I kind of want to go back to my train of questions I was having before. So do you think that there would be then consequences, or what do you think the effect would be for the Democrats not to move forward with impeachment right now?
I think in light of the evidence, Democratic voters would be very angry that in light of a serious abuse of power, the Democrats didn't go forward with impeachment. There were many Democrats who were calling for impeachment before the incident with regard to the Ukraine occurred. They believed that the obstruction of justice with regard to the Mueller investigation was a basis for impeachment. They believed that the consistent violation of the Emoluments Clause in the Constitution was a basis for impeachment. But Nancy Pelosi said that she didn't want to go down the path of impeachment because she thought it would be much more politically harmful than beneficial. But when the allegations came out of President Trump conditioning military aid to the Ukraine on their gathering political dirt on Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, Speaker Pelosi felt there was no choice but for the Democrats to stand up and take a principled position. And I expect with very few defections, the Democrats will vote to impeach President Trump, and that the Republicans will vote, perhaps with no defections, against that.
Erwin Chemerinsky, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Anytime, a pleasure.
Erwin Chemerinsky is Dean and Distinguished Professor of Law at University of California, Berkeley School of Law, the author and co-author of several books, including The Conservative Assault on the Constitution and The Case Against the Supreme Court.